The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Tuesday. Already the end of March 31st, 2020. Steve Elkin's going to join me in the second hour. And Mark Anderson wrote an article for American Free Press. And it's what I mentioned weeks ago. Well, it was even before the coronavirus, so it had to have been longer than that. Watching cities. Yeah, it had to have been about 3 months ago, because the demonstration in Virginia at the Capitol, people are going, no, get your hands off of the freedom weapons. No, 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 no. And I said at that time, I said, watch these cities. They're acting as if they're disconnected from their state, its form of government, constitution, federal and state. They're just merrily clipping along here like, well, it's now a democracy. If I can get 51% of the people within my jurisdiction to vote for anything or say yes, well, the people have spoken. I've heard a lot of people speaking lately, and I'll tell you what, the majority of them aren't worth the powder to blow them up with. Remember what I said, folks, about the 1,000-piece puzzle, and you're all trying to jam it into one border. And I've heard some Lulus, and I've heard some that possibly may have some merit, and then just some that are just so whacked out, you just scratch your head and go, is this what happens to people with too much time in their hands and access to tell somebody their wacky, crazy ideas? Well, Gilad Osman talked about this coronavirus. And folks, I'm going to have Steve next hour talk about this self-induced psychosis. This is real. This is not just some chink in somebody's armor and they're bottled up someplace and they're fed a bunch of spoon-fed fear, fear, fear on a daily basis. And they start acting abnormally. And then they do stuff that you would never consider, even if you've known that person for, say, 10, 20 years. All of a sudden, you watch what they're doing and you go, my God. But here's the problem. You can't speak to them to help them. They're not listening. They're wrapped up in their psychosis. They're building sandcastles in the air. And if you don't join them, well, Gilead says in its war against terror and coronavirus, the world has united in a determination to lock down its human inhabitants, hoping that COVID-19 will show some empathy and voluntarily evaporate. We've been trained to think that winning a war entails killing the enemy, but most scientists admit that coronavirus isn't exactly a Hitler or a bin Laden. Though viruses carry genetic material, they reproduce and evolve evolutionary. They lack some of the key characteristics itself, typical of life organisms, such as cell structure. Most biologists consider viruses as organisms at the edge of life, as opposed to live organisms. Accordingly, our new little global enemy can't be killed for the simple reason it ain't alive. It's reasonable to believe that the battle with the viruses and the COVID-19 in particular is a struggle inflicted on us and that humans cannot escape the battlefield. We may prolong the battle by locking ourselves down. We may even produce a vaccination or find a cocktail of available medicines that successfully tackle severe respiratory symptoms. But the grim fact is, the corona is not going to give up. It will continue to be waiting for us behind some corner. This is a new law of nature. And as far as the corona is concerned, despite our incredible technological achievements, are still part of nature. Two existential realizations are crucial in the light of the above mentioned. Many things, including life itself, are inflicted on us. We don't choose to be in the world. We do not choose who we are, our genes, our DNA, the list of guilts and faults that make us into who we are, and in most cases, imposed on us by an act of birth. We're often locked into situations that are basically forced on us. This includes being thrown into a world as well as being taken away. We may as well be upset by the fact that the sun rises in the east or by shortening days of winter because in the future is a form of acceptance or even surrender. Being in the world is a form of acceptance. We may have to accept that COVID-19 has become an integral part of our lives. We can't kill it. We can't win over it. We must have to accept it and learn to live with it. And that raises this. Is how to live with a persistent biological agent that insists upon killing some of us and that we really can't fight back. Well, the most obvious place to look is at similar battles in the past. Spanish flu spread throughout the world in 1918, killed between 17 and 100 million people. Is a natural place to start our query. The H1N1 virus that presumptively caused the Spanish flu influenza itself wasn't really defeated. It was killed, so to say. It was actually who managed to survive it, at least a few decades till it mutated into a new strain around 2009, and it was known as the swine flu, estimated between 157 and 575,000 died in 2009. Now, those are worldwide figures, folks. Am I talking about anything yet that's reaching a pandemic? No, I'm not. Is Gilead saying that coronavirus is not real? No, he's not. Let me continue. Again, we humans have learned to live with swine flu. Many of us experienced the menace of this disease, but survived it. Most of us who survived the swine flu pandemic have developed the necessary biological means to cope with the current strain of H1N1. Guess why? Your body builds up antibodies. The swine flu pandemic spread death at a frightening exponential rate until it reached a magical point where the curve suddenly started to flatten. When the curve changes in the right direction, we're relieved to discover that the biology that sustains our existence has found the means to defy the threat. In short, subject to this war rather than active players. COVID-19 may be 10 times deadly as the seasonal flu. Maybe, but there's little we can do to defeat it. We can use different strategies that may slow the epidemic and lessen the pressure on our frontline medical services. We can shield, as we should, our elders, the most vulnerable, but the virus will stay with us forever, and maybe it's time for us to learn to accept that state of affairs is the law of nature, and despite our technological brilliance, aren't just part of nature, we're also subject to nature. When we get released from our current lockdown imprisonment, we will meet a different world. It'll be hesitant. Universe, our confidence in science, politics, technology is going to be shaken. Every aspect of life is going to be changed. Many of us will continue to work from home. Many of us won't work at all and may never work again. Public transport and civilian aviation will change radically. We have to accept that more and more violent viruses are waiting to inflict pain on us. The only way to cope with this nightmarish transition as a human species is to accept it. To accept that we are each merely a piece of biology. We're thrown into the world for a limited time. We may have to have the modesty to respect the fact that the world is far greater than we are. It was there before us, and it's going to be long after we are gone. Now, the good news about this, and I appreciate his approach to this, because what I don't believe he's saying is be ready for the next pandemic to be scared to death. I wonder why Fox News didn't fire Laura Ingraham. Because she came out and basically what we've been talking on this program, we challenged the numbers. And she did the very same thing. And she's not fired. There are some people out there that are looking at this and going, you know what? We're not saying that COVID-19 is a joke or it's not real. We're just telling you it isn't as advertised. Let me give you an example here of what I was talking about earlier. That, well, for public safety, you know, city mayors are just going to do anything they damn well please. Somehow they think they now have carte blanche to violate every one of your constitutional God-given rights. They firmly believe that they can and are justified in doing so. Well, on February 26, Mark Anderson wrote, former Chicago mayor, we all know and love him, Ron Emanuel, addressed a nonprofit organization, Chicago Ideas, to pump his new book, The Nation City, Why Mayors Are Now Running the World. Thus, the nation city has suddenly become a part of the collective global cities vernacular. Now, take note that Emanuel is not futurizing. He's stumping to make the case that the nation state is an anachronism against which mayors, joined by some state governors, should rebel in order to usurp and devolve national power to the local level. The One Worlders themselves call it glocalism. Now let me stop and digress here for a second. Because, yeah, haven't we put that same argument forth? Why is the federal government all over the states and these rules and regulations and policies and, well, that can't be constitutional. How can our government do that? When we talk about the Fed getting the hell out of the state, we mean the Fed getting the hell out of the state. But this is not to say that you become worse than what we have been talking and complaining about for a very, very long time. This is Rahm Emanuel. He is one shifty little son of a gun. Glocalism? Really? So the shining empires like Chicago, sorry, it must be the coronavirus, or maybe it's the coronavirus. Which one makes you cough more, Mike? 3 or 4 years ago at the Globalist Forums, an annual Pritzker Forum on global cities in Chicago, there were several suggestive statements about localities doing an eventual end round around the nation state. But most of the statements were confined to mayors wanting to, or maybe wanting a seat at the table in order to be taken more seriously, consulted about immigration, international trade, foreign policy, and diplomacy. The next step came in February 2018 when Ivo Dalder, president of the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, which puts on the annual forum on global cities each June, traveled to London's Chatham House, their think tank, which is the same money line as the infamous Council on Foreign Relations. The program that Daldler attended explored the revealing question, should cities have their own foreign policy? The same month, then-Mayor Emanuel, who served two terms before his 2019 retirement, helped unveil Resilient Chicago Plan, an offshoot of the North America Climate Summit in Chicago held in December of 2017. That summit, the first of its kind held by the Global Covenant of Mayors for Climate and Energy, an EU-created entity, presided over by former New York mayor and former presidential candidate Michael Bloomberg. Well, he's no longer a candidate. They produced the Chicago Climate Charter. Now, that pact comports that the ongoing global cities movement. In early 2018, Emanuel signed an executive order committing unwitting Chicagoans to the goals of the 2015 Paris Agreement. Not only as a pushback against Trump for removing the U.S. from that pact in 2017, but also to accentuate the point that under the global cities rubric, the nation-state itself could be bypassed. In other words, participating mayors need to pay no heed to the Constitution's Article 1, Section 10, and that states that no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, and no state shall, without the consent of Congress, enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power. During a Chicago Ideas interview conducted by Ariel Investment CEO Melody Hobson, Emanuel did not mention that municipalities are creatures of their own respective states and therefore would automatically collide with Article 1, Section 10 under the city foreign diplomacy scheme. Ms. Hobson noted, "You say the future of society is with mayors and cities?" Emanuel replied, "Yes. A third of my book is about the center of gravity of our politics moving out of Washington, out of Brussels, out of London, to local jurisdiction." Well, isn't that nice? Now, folks, could you imagine doing this back in the day where you have somebody parading around saying, "Hey, the hell with your constitutions. I'm going to do whatever I do." Folks, this guy would have been tarred and feathered. Maybe they might even lit the feathers. I don't know. Maybe they would have hung them in the town square. I don't know. But I can guarantee you one thing, they wouldn't be in the political seat. Not anymore. You know, there is a word for this kind of stuff. It's called treason. You know, that's the one thing that us tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists have never been accused of. Treason. Why? For a very simple reason. We want the rule of law restored. How the hell are you going to argue with that? How are you going to call me treasonous or traitorous when I'm saying that we need strict adherence to that Constitution? You know, the times might have changed, but human nature didn't. And all the attributes of human beings, it ain't too cool. The greed, the avariciousness, the selfishness, the coldness. There's aspects of the human nature, folks, and it isn't really very nice. And being in a polite society, we have a tendency to, well, stow those away. We don't even like to look at it ourselves. We certainly don't want to show anybody else. In his view, national governments are rife with distance, dysfunction, and disinterest. Well, okay, I'll give you that one, Rom. But it's the government itself that needs to be fixed. You can't fix stupid with more stupidity. And that's what this guy, a little bit more on this. This is a peek inside of this great American mind. They came and took it all away.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Rom here, he says, from the vantage point of the locals, he said, those gaps should be filled with intimate, immediate, and impactful policies of cities. Local governments are leading the charge on climate change. Local governments are leading the charge on immigration. Emmanuel, who also served as, we can't forget this, the White House staffer, in the Clinton and Obama administrations, and a U.S. congressman, ascending to chief of staff for Obama, added that while the first third of his book is about political science, the subject of urban politics is a major focus of the rest of the book. Emmanuel spoke proudly of his Jewish upbringing in Chicago while outlining several ideas for proper city government, improving K through 12 schools, better libraries, better mass transit, entertainment events, and other aspects of city life. He feels that these things provide shared experience which function as a glue that prevents diversity from tearing society apart because no one can agree in a multicultural society on the basic tenets of workable governments. He just said it right there. Welcome to Babel. But while stressing that diversity becomes a liability if you don't agree on something, and noting that 147 languages are spoken in Chicago public schools, Now, he took a sharp turn by saying, I really think what this country needs right now is national service. Instead of, for starters, that English should be the official language to help simplify communication and promote unity in schools. Duh. Wow. Now, there is something profound coming out of this guy's head. Moreover, national service agencies such as AmeriCorps are premised on people serving the government and not the other way around. Emanuel's municipal ideas do not require a total restructuring of the local state-federal relationship to be implemented. Ideas some may find appealing can be a wedge into a more illicit endgame. In other words, he doesn't recognize America's dominant Christian European roots until recently produce social concord. Those of Emanuel's secularist ilk have for decades instead screamed for separation of church and state. But since the multiculturalism Emanuel supports is not the same thing as assimilation, we're moving to America means you become an American in the fullest sense. His chief remedy becomes social engineering in a form of national service. Instead of liberty under the law where men are endowed with their creator with certain unalienable rights, therein lies the delicate deception. I'm glad Mark wrote about that, because this is what is happening. When you see these mayors come up, and I'm just not talking about COVID-19 virus here, folks. I'm talking about everything else. I don't care if it's climate change, whether it's gun control, whatever the case may be. They're just going to do what they damn well please and hope that they don't get too much flack. But they are getting flack. David in San Francisco. Hello, David.
Yeah, how are you, John? Calling you from that international city by the quarantine. Hey, you know, as you were describing the whole idea of America becoming a melting pot, do you remember there were, I'm a big fan of Thomas Paine, and you remember he was the guy that, he was kind of like the advertising guy for the American Revolution. He came up with something like 75 or 100 different catchphrases that brought America together. And these are the times that try men's souls. The United States of America. That was his. And one of his big themes was that, there's society is when you're in common agreement. And government is when that common agreement decides to build a bureaucracy. And so you if you want to make sure that there's a, if you've got to have a ferry crossing and, you want to have some safe standards so that grandma can get across safely and the kids can get across safely, the city or town hires a toll keeper, or not a toll keeper, what do you call it, a ferry keeper, and so you end up with these structures in society that keep the village going, or the town, or the city, or the county, or the state, and the structures that go out there and inspect the bridges that make sure they're working right. People that inspect the rivers make sure nobody's polluting it. This whole idea that government is supposed to be representing us, and that we, the people, own the place, and that, if somebody decides that they like the area and they want to trade with the area, there should be a symbiotic relationship, so that the town is not used as a colony by, some foreign empire. But instead, there's a nice, even trade relationship and both sides prosper. So I'm really, the fake conservatism that's been running around saying that we've got a one language. Shoot, in an international city like New York or San Francisco or New Orleans, you better know a bunch of languages. You're going to make more money the more languages you know.
Okay, David, just hang on a second. Some of your assertions I do not necessarily agree with, but please hang on. I've got to take the bottom of the hour break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Back. So, David, let me see if I get your assertion correct here. Now, you're saying about New York City because there's so many different languages spoken there. What?
Oh, no, I'm talking more theoretical American, you know, united you stand, divided you fall. I'm saying that the merchants, the various merchants of every different land in America, or, you know, every different land in the world that has a trade office in New York City, they like the city. They want to be there. You know, they want the trade. They want it to be a reciprocal relationship. And there are a few con artists, you know, that just try to take the money down to the Cayman Islands. But for the most part, people like the idea of being in New York City. So it's united you stand, divided you fall against an epidemic or against, you know, sewage in the streets. You know, you want a good city that everybody can, you know, live happily in. And there are a few S&M freaks that are out there that are, you know, toying with the people with the, I don't know if you've heard, but the whole reason why the various governors aren't getting the goods, all of the ventilators and all of the equipment, is Jared is in charge. Little 666 Fifth Avenue. 666 Fifth Avenue, and all these so-called Christians are latching on to this Jared as if he's a wunderkind. He's a liar. He's 666 Fifth Avenue, and he's selling out the country to kings and evil princes, and it's amazing. you know, how somebody could get suckered by that guy. Yeah. But America is united, you stand, divided, you fall.
Well, and David, time was in America, you didn't think about America being divided. Because it really wasn't.
They're paid agents doing it.
No, David, that's not where I'm going with
that's
this.
That's Fox News, man. This guy Rupert Murdoch is knighted, right? He's a British knight, and he has basically one-third of American news broadcasts. One-third of American news broadcasts are run by a British prince
And Rupert is no longer in charge. His sons are, and you've seen...
Well, find out there's heralding, you know.
Okay, David. Thank you for your call. You're not going to let me talk. I'll let you go. Glenn in Philly. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
Hello, John. I heard you talking about the issue of centralization versus decentralization of government, the federal versus state versus local government.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you shake that localism tree just a little bit, and out will fall a bunch of pre-placed ICLEI representatives from the UN from their International Council for Local and Environmental Initiatives. These are the greenies put in our local government boards by the UN. So it's really no surprise that we see this popping up of this localism, again, bypassing states' rights. And we've heard, there used to be, I don't know if it was on your network or... there used to be a woman who was a master's degree RN of some, I think from down in Maryland, who, you know, dedicated her efforts specifically to exposing ICLEI. But this is their representative. These guys are all Tavistock Institute, Delphi Technique, consensus facilitators to,
right,
you know, put in local township boards to go and subvert everything in favor of globalistic policies.
Well, and we saw this happening over 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
This
is nothing new. These are sleeper agents ready to go.
Yeah, and the example I'm going to give you is Antrim County, Michigan. This was a kind of a spot that was picked out for the more well-to-do, beautiful area of Michigan, and they decided that they were going to start limiting the use of property as wetlands. And lo and behold, they come up with brand new rules. It wasn't, they had a standard for wetlands before. Well, then they stretched it out a little bit further. That, if it rains and water puddles for a period of hours, that's to be considered a wetland and restricted from human use. That was Agenda 21. That we saw they first tried to implement, and what they did was they brought in their people to instruct the town council on, you need to push this because, well, this is brand new and it's going to be good for everybody. Well, we battled that for a long time, even up to and including threatening to throw the sheriff of the county, Antrim County, in jail, and that came by way of a judge once she heard what was going on.
Right.
You're exactly right, Glenn.
And a lot of this has to do with local land holdings and the greening areas and rewilding areas and setting aside land and the hiding of monies that would only come out in the CAFR even if you're lucky.
Yep.
So, you know, yeah. So... And the environmental agenda is just the shoehorn. It's just the camel's nose under the tent, you know. So once they get it going, you know, then, you know, I'm sure their agenda is quite comprehensive, but we're not seeing it yet. But they've had plenty of time,
yes,
to burrow in the form of ICLEI. And anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up.
Well, I appreciate you doing that because you're exactly right. Now, the solution to that little problem is for people, now's the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country, or their city, or their county, or their state, whatever. And people have to take on, we can't do a national center for running these people out of city councils, because there's no mechanism in which to do that. It's the people that are in the direct locale that need to be doing this. And I don't see this happening a whole lot. Do you?
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? The unfortunately, we Americans simply, you know, if we're supposed to be a government of the people, most of us don't even know who our senators or representatives are, who our state senators and reps are, who our local, you know, or what goes on to the local boards or anything like that, you know.
Right.
So we're not really governing. We're letting, you know, we occasionally vote here and there, or we find out that someone else gets, you know, this one gets appointed or that one gets appointed. But I'm guilty. I mean, I don't participate as I ought. But I mean, we're hardly a government of the people if the people aren't participating.
Well, and there's many reasons for that, none of them very good. But yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, this is not going to go away of its own accord, and we're being infiltrated by these, as my friend Lark likes to say, the communitarians. kind of says it all right there. But yeah, it's the UN agenda.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I'm a fan of decentralization because, you know, I'm convinced that centralization always leads to tyranny. So that's why in America, states' rights was always so important. And when we saw that scuttled through the Civil War and Reconstruction, we saw, you know, and Lincoln kind of gives the death knell for states' rights. But then where is our locus of authority? How much authority does the county have? You mentioned the role of the county sheriff. I like that idea of the county sheriff being the final, you know, legal authority in the county. Essentially, he can tell the feds to hit the road if he wants to or something, you know. Mm-hmm. I like my authority and local. But that doesn't mean I want the UN infiltrating my local board.
No, and you know, all of this, Glenn, all of this follows. You know, there was a lot less strife in this country, confusion and chaos, before the multiculturalists, before the globalists, before the UNists got involved. They have a world program that they're going to continue to push, and they're going to try to rot us from the inside out. I want people, as they're sitting in stasis right now and have been sent home from work or whatever the case may be, you've got the time to consider. You're not being distracted by the daily motions of life here, the endless cycle for some. Now you have time to start to consider, what do we do now? There's going to be a post-coronavirus. There's still going to be the problems that are infecting this country. And we either get serious about it and combating it, yelling about it, pointing it out, pointing it to other people, and saying, look, now what they're telling us is a way of unification. Isn't it great? We're getting along with Democrats and Republicans because we're going to do a $2 trillion-plus bailout. Yeah, in a pig's eye.
Right.
And
we have to participate, and the reason we have to participate in the local level, even if we have wanted our locus of authority to be local, we have to participate or we'd end up with local boss hog tyrants. So, you know, their freedom is, you know, isn't free, and we all need to participate at whatever level to be the watchdogs, or we end up,
I don't know if it's so much of participation. I think
awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, participating in what they're giving us right now is laughable. All right. Hey, Glenn, great points.
Okay, thank you, John.
I appreciate your call. Carol in Idaho. And well, hello, Carol.
Thank you. Early in the hour, when you were quoting from or talking about Rahm Emanuel's book, either you quoted him or you made a comment. I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter. Local areas or counties or whatever cities have a right to be independent from their state or federal government, right? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my comment to that is I think that the downfall and where we get hogtied at the local level always comes down to our taking the money. We take the carrot that the feds dangle, and that is our undoing. So you do have, you the local level, you do have a right to be independent, but you've got to carry your own weight, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and refuse the carrot that is going to hogtie you.
Well, seeing how the system is rigged and they're driving it in the ground, and every city, every county, every state is lacking in funds, it's all going down to a level that's making a lot of people uncomfortable. Do you think, Carol, that next time a little bucket of cash is waved under these creatures' noses, they'll all of a sudden get righteous and refuse it? I don't think so.
No, but see, that whether they will hop to and do the right thing at the local level is beside the point. I'm talking about the principle of it and what does create our undoing. That's all I'm saying, John. Follow the money, you know what I mean? But look, the way God created the individual, and these individuals can, you know, they have the right to band together in a local community, but they bring with them their God-given powers, their intellect and their muscle power and whatever, their skills. And so we could, we meaning every nation, every locale, we could carry our own weight, and then we would be cut free from the damnable enslavement of the feds and the globalists.
And as you're describing this, Carol, you know, what would be the inducement for a town council or a county council to take federal bribe money? How about they're not so broke and not so desperate that we have not had this leaking sieve in this country of the real wealth? They gave us the illusion of having wealth by carrying around pockets full of their cancerous stuff they call money. And the only thing the thing is designed to do is keep you further and keep you going further in debt. Again, a lot of problems would be solved here, Carol, if we had an honest money system.
Exactly.
And that
I'm all for that.
Yeah, and that there, what comes from that is what America used to be. I mean, it ran in spurts.
Yeah,
that it was it was self-sustainable. People went out to work. They created stuff. They put it on markets.
Yeah.
They had jobs. They had money. They bought things. They bought homes. I mean, and all of this is interlinked. You know, this isn't just this isn't just money going here and then it doesn't affect anything else. And this is what their people, too bad, and it's going to be too late for a lot of people, are going to be discovering this, because they're going to take these low or no interest loans for their failing business. Well, it was kind of failing before. They were barely hanging on. Now they're going to take the government money and they're still going to go belly up.
Yeah. I don't know, John, you would not have devoted the last three decades of your life to what you have if you didn't agree with me that the power is in the individual and the local community group. We have the power if we will only stand up and use it and
Carol,
refuse.
You want to laugh? Because I've been so stubborn and I've hung in there this long, some have concluded that I've got to be working for the Fed. Because nobody would put up with this kind of abuse or do what I have done unless he was getting bailed out by the Fed.
Okay, but I have a question.
Yeah.
If you are working for the feds and paid by the feds, how come you ain't rich?
Well, you know, that would be a good question, wouldn't it, though?
Yeah, see, when like Congress people, politicians go to Washington, D.C., and within 3 to 5 years, they're millionaires. Well, John Stepmiller is not a millionaire, so you can't be working for the feds.
Carol, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. All right. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Well, it's ironic, John, that I was calling you just as you were talking about Antrim County.
I noticed.
But it wasn't, I was going to call you before then because I had a couple of other comments, but that worked in perfect because your caller that was bringing this up, he was referring to Joan Vion, and her website was womensgroup.org. That's women's plus, you know, womensgroup.org. I'm not sure if it's still there, but I became good friends with Joan over the phone over the years that she was alive, and her last movie that she put out was When Central Banks Rule the World.
Right.
And she was had cancer, and she was it was in the summertime, and Michael Moore has a festival up here, and she sent me 100 DVDs of that movie to hand out at the film festival. And so it's still out there, When Central Banks Rule the World, and what happened.
John, would you please do me a favor? And tell the people, because this was the first time that up in your neck of the woods, they brought in agenda, the UN Agenda 21. Now it's Agenda 30. But it was not easy for you to do. You guys went to the town council. They gave you a deaf ear. They were not listening to you. If you would, just give me a thumbnail sketch of how trying that was, but you were ultimately successful.
And you were helpful, too, because you came up here and reinforced from the outside, reinforced our presentation, because this area is loaded with lakes and small towns and small communities. We're surrounded by water, and they were going to use this county as the first county in the country to have a wetlands ordinance countywide.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried it here, and we had to really expose that. We had one fellow up here who was former military special forces that did a lot of the homework for us, and he traced it back to the UN and got a magistrate to hear his point, and boy, did she lay the law down on the county.
You know, is that woman still alive, or has she passed?
I have to look that up. Okay. But the state police wouldn't even touch it because it's not their jurisdiction. So it just goes to show you the sheriff has the power with that. And the only reason they backed down, and he formally left. He left soon after the sheriff did, and the prosecuting attorney did too, because they were both in cahoots to get this thing in place.
Yeah, they left Antrim County to go and flick somebody else.
Right, and that's a great, and you can go do it, folks. They give you 5 minutes, and you have, it's done at like 9 o'clock in the morning. It's never done at a convenient time when they have these council meetings, but it's something that can be accomplished. That was way back when, and now it's even further down the road, because in Grand Rapids there's a building called Downtown Market. Now, if the break comes out, John, I'll take it through, but it's called the Downtown Market. It's a beautiful place, and it's supported by the Van Andels and the Vosses. They owned Amway, and they pretty much developed Grand Rapids to where it's at today. They've done a lot of nice things, but in this market, in their administrative office, right there at the bottom of it, a decal, it says this is a 2030 zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're involved with this. They have had at the airport there, the Chinese have had a great base there, private. You can't go near it for years, because they brought a lot of Amway products in. But that's the 2030 resilient program that they have going on. And but you can still fight it and expose it. I just wanted to bring up one more point, John. A friend of mine from downstate, he noticed that his neighbors were acting very different. Everyone's in this state has to, they can't go anywhere. There's no visit. You can walk, but he says there's a strange feeling. And what I think might be happening is these people are locked in their home where they have these smart meters and their smart appliances. And I think they're possibly being affected by the frequencies that they're being inundated with for long periods of time. And it's just something that crossed my mind. And I hope that that's not the case, but these smart meters do affect our bodies and our minds with their
Well, and that, John, that's something that Steve and I are going to be discussing in the next hour, is the psychosis. And I have been looking at 5G and what it's actually doing to the human body, what it's doing to your cells, how it vibrates the cells to a point where the cells start leaking out stuff that you would normally eliminate by ingesting water and then food and then, how you eliminate it normally, or toxins in your body, you sweat, whatever the case may be. Well, this 5G gets in there and just vibrates the hell out of that cell, and just all kinds of poisons go throughout your body. Now, that's 5G it's gone on unobstructed around the world. It's been talked about, the UN thing, that, they had 5G over there, and that's the reason why coronavirus is doing what it's doing. I don't know that that's the case. I don't know if it's coincidence, but, a separate thing aside, 5G, we know the health risk there. Whether I want to tie it to the COVID virus or not, it seems to me to be kind of immaterial. because we see what the world's governments are doing with the COVID virus pandemic, the non-event event that's going on right before our very eyes. And I think, John, hold on one second. Let me finish this.
Oh, sure.
And John, I fully believe that this COVID virus thing is just more than maybe preparing. They're seeing who's being naughty and nice, who's going to sign up and who's going to give their DNA through these tests, or who's going to sign up and tell them on themselves on their 2018 or 2019 tax return. All this is hinged toward one thing, and that's the government collecting more and more and more data. But it also tells them something else. Who's the go-along to get-along guy with his hand out going, yeah, okay, these are the people that would put up with anything. Okay, and probably have in their life. But we've got this still this strain of people in this country that think that nationalism and independence and freedom and liberty is the right way to go. Still to this day, they have not convinced me otherwise, or you, or this listening audience. But here's my point. Are they doing this? Is this just a dry run? Because I've been hearing this over and over and over. Well, they want to eliminate 75% of the world's population. Well, you're not going to do it with a COVID virus. But what if you got all your ducks in a row, you've gone through this exercise, and the next pandemic that comes around, maybe it will be a biological weapon to kill off 75% of the Earth's population. I don't know. See, now we're in uncharted territory, John.
I agree with everything you said, and the aluminum that is building up in our system, too, is being affected by these frequencies and can really create havoc with our systems. And as far as the 5G, the military has used it for crowd control.
Yep.
And my friend who did the investigation with the UN stuff, he was Special Forces, and when we were getting these cell towers brought in, I asked him if they were lethal, and he said they could be used as a weapon in a minute. You know, with frequency changes.
Yeah.
So we do have those things that we have to deal with. But again, yeah. I think this is a trial run.
And John, do you remember when phones first came out? They called them mobile phones. They called them mobile phones for a reason. Because the system that they had, the phones were big and bulky, and they were really expensive. And only the people with money to burn had these mobile phones. Well, they were in cars. Well, then they discovered, well, wait a minute here. This doesn't have enough power to penetrate buildings or whatever the case may be, so we'll give you another frequency, and then we're going to give you another frequency. Well, this 5G, it doesn't go very far, but man, does it penetrate. It penetrates your house, your cat, your dog, you, and everything else. And there's been enough studies done that this should be looked in as a serious health issues for not only human beings, but for all animal life. I mean, where's PETA? Where's the world's population that's, you know, where the hell are they?
May I hold over just for one more?
No, I've got Steve coming up next hour. You got about 30 seconds.
Okay, well, good. And the bees, too, the bees.
Yeah, we've seen the pictures of dead bees at the base of cell towers. We also had the stories of the cell towers are on top of apartment buildings, and most of the residents coming down with cancers. John, thank you. I appreciate you very much, my friend.
God bless.
All right. Second hour coming up. Steve Elkins is going to join me for the hour.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.